You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The My Choice sales event is on. Choose your bonus up to $2,000 bonus cash, up to 1% rate reduction, or up to 3 payments on them. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Going back to the well, our buddy Craig Conroy expected to call in.
And I do have a confession from the last hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah?
I don't know what the hell Hayes was talking about. He was talking about Kurt Herbstreit, and I made a comment, and then Hayes started talking, and I didn't know he was talking to me, and I just looked at a bill that looked important on my coffee table, and then he's like, "Are you there?" And I'm like, "What the hell are you talking about?" So I acted like my thing went down, and I'm like, "I'm back now." So I was actually there. I just didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
So you're admitting you went baby monkey in your own condo is what you're saying. You weren't paying attention.
I thought you were just on one of your rants, and I did not know it was directed at me.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's what happened. So, and when Noodles jumped in and said, "Is he there?" That's what you're saying? You actually were there? You just weren't paying attention?
I was there, but I acted. I was kind of like, I got to get out of this somehow.
But so, it was a golf talk. We were talking about Phil and Tiger.
No, you said something about putting in your own money or something like that.
We have the audio. Let's Mullen play it. If they're doing it for the right reason, all of a sudden, maybe people would get behind it.
Is he gone?
I assume he is. My assumption was wrong. Is that what you're telling me?
I was right there for the ride, but I'm like, wow. I don't know what the hell this guy's talking about. You're talking about Herbstreit or fighting or golf or what the hell was going on.
No, it was Phil and Tiger, and that's why I...
Yeah, I love talking about that stuff, but I was like, I was out to lunch.
So dangerous that your audio feed cuts in and out. Legitimately, it does, but now you can use that.
By the way, let me just get something straight. You guys have been ripping my Wi-Fi, and I told my wife about it, and she even made a comment. She's like, "What do they think you do? Like, you called and got your Wi-Fi and said, 'Can I have the crappiest package available?' Like, there's nothing." What?
Yeah, you've got some ripoff, like Joe Exotic. No.
Yeah, you had a guy that you know come in and put
like
it in.
I called and said, "Okay, I'm going to set up Wi-Fi and TV. Give me the crappiest package available." No. So Phil Connors called and said, "You got to check your Wi-Fi to make sure it's acceptable." I'm like, "Okay, Phil." So I email Phil Connors back, and I'm like, "There you go." He's like, "Yeah, it's all checked."
Phil Connors. if we're doing full disclosure, we should play that sound again, because when you guys are talking, I turn my mics off. I turn my mic off. I've got the red button. I can go on and off because I don't want to pick up any, you know, background noise or anything. Well, Brian, I knew you were talking to, it was a golf question. You were actually posing, you know, a hypothetical to,
Right.
I turned my mic off, and I took a bite of lasagna, and
what the hell was the question? There was no question.
No, it wasn't.
It was a comment.
No. We were getting into it about how deep this could go, and
the court of public opinion about Tiger and Phil playing. And I said, if it's their own money or for charity, maybe people would get behind that. And I left the floor open for you to walk in and do a dance. Yeah. And instead, you froze.
I got to hear it again, because there was no question.
If they're doing it for the right reason, all of a sudden, maybe people would get behind it.
Is he gone?
He's there. The guy's there this time. That is so ridiculous, but I'm not surprised.
I come back with like, "Yeah, I'm here, guys. And by the way, you know," it's one thing if people are like screwing around or what's that? Well,
but it's just basically like I think you went baby monkey. And you weren't paying attention.
You got to get me coming back in. I'm acting like a hero. I'm like, "I'm back now, guys. Yeah, that's the one thing, Gene. Well, you can't. It's just a joke."
You can pull it off whenever, because we can't see you. We have no idea. And you legitimately
Phil Connors said it's going to be all fixed tomorrow. I told him my Wi-Fi, and he understands now that it's not my problem. I don't have the Mickey Mouse package.
Well, I think we should be streaming you live on Instagram or something to see if you're actually like paying attention or not.
That's what we have to do. We need a Zoom chat while we're on the air so I can have eyes on you and I know exactly what you're up to.
Listen to me jump back into this like I wasn't cut off.
Sorry, I'm back. I can hear now. Yeah, I agree, Jamie. That's what everyone's going to say. You think that's important, but you look at what else is going on, the pressing issues in the world.
He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
Just perfected the pop back.
Yeah. Oh,
the pop
yeah.
back.
I am back.
He's back. And we have former NHLer on the line, assistant GM with the Calgary Flames, Craig Conroy, back on Overdrive. What's happening, Craig?
Not a lot, to be honest. Just hanging out here in Calgary.
Yeah,
how are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. We're all at home. Like, I'm at my house. Noodles is at his house. O's at his condo. So we're not in the same room, which is complicated things. And just prior to having you on, we found out that O has perfected the pretend like his line dropped maneuver, even though he just wasn't paying attention. So
it's like when you're at the point and you got your head up your ass and the guy on defense just goes right down the pipe and scores. That's basically the radio equivalent of it.
Well, don't worry. I was on a pro call the other day and like I got cut off and I guess Don Maloney asked me a question. Nah, gone. So the scouts are like, are you even on this thing? You get on. I'm like, I got kicked off. They're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. No one knows. I mean, it's
exactly.
All. It's just the honor system. Whether or not you're even there, you could just pretend like you're not even on the line. But we were discussing your situation and just the situation of executives throughout sports, whether it's the NHL, baseball, football, etc. What is your daily routine? How are you proving, you know, to the GM, to the owner that you're doing stuff during the day?
You know, I mean, I think really the first, when everything got canceled or put on a freeze or hold or pause or whatever the word, I guess it's pause. You know, the college free agents, once that got done, like they canceled the season. So I was quickly on that. So we ended up getting two defensemen signed. So it was, you know, and I was in contact with Brad. So Brad actually was like, oh, you're actually doing something out here, Connie. But, you know, I got two and we tried to get a couple forwards and it didn't quite work out. But, you know, we really were going for the defense this year. So, you know, we've been doing that, lots of conference calls. You know, just trying to figure out getting ready because especially for the draft, there are some players we didn't see as much as we'd like or we want a few more viewings on. So our video guys getting all that for us and, you know, you're getting to watch that and then, you know, that's kind of it. But yeah, you're on the honor system. I mean, I guess you could be doing absolutely nothing if you wanted to.
Well, Connie, we were talking about that on Friday is, you know, I was talking about the video system, and I don't know, you don't need to tell us which one you're on, but I remember there was one called RinkNet, and you could watch, like, different videos of basically the players that your scouts have inputted, and basically that's how you could go back and scout players. Like, when you go on the road, we were joking, but if you go to scout somebody and put it in the system, do you scout somebody that's a slam dunk? Like, nobody goes on the road and scouts McDavid, do they?
Well, you know what? They just, hey, it's not so much that, but you do put them in the system. So when it kind of goes to your rankings, like if you said centers, like if you don't put them in the system and do one report, this guy's amazing, blah, 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 you know, best player in the league. It'd be pretty much that with ones across the board. But you just want to, so when you go in and look at all your rankings, like he'd be at the top. You know, and if you didn't do a report on him, he'd be gone. He wouldn't be there. And they'd be like, are you an idiot? You don't even have McDavid in there. You know, so you do have to do at least one report. But, yeah, like Sidney Crosby, I mean, you go through and do everybody one time. But the reality is you're not – you're just doing it to make sure they're in the system, and that's it. So, you know, and it's really the guys, you know, really we key on free agents for this year coming up. And then, you know, Brad will say, hey, I talked to team X or Y – they got these five players they're talking about, or they're looking to do something here. They want a defenseman. They want a goalie. They want a forward. And then that's how we kind of go in. So give our scouts some kind of roadmap because it's hard to go in and watch 40 guys. And, you know, it's easier when you go in with a purpose and you say, okay, I'm going to pick 10 to 12 guys and really key on them. That's kind of the difference for sure.
With the assistant GM of the Flames, Craig Conroy, you mentioned the upcoming draft and trying to find some more tape on the players. I mean, it's one thing to find tape on the guys in the top five or top 10, But the guys in the middle rounds or late rounds, I don't even know if you would have tape. You know, maybe that tape would have shown up in late March. Maybe it shows up in the playoffs. Some guy had a great playoff that now isn't even going to be happening, so he wouldn't even be on your radar. How challenging or unique do you expect this draft situation to be compared to, you know, a conventional season?
You know, the one good thing I think for us, we feel like, you know, I talked to Jim Cummins, you know, you're talking your amateur guys, USHL, all the different guys, they feel very good with their lists. They feel very comfortable with their guys because the seasons were almost over for a lot of them, you know, and then you were going to have a few in the playoffs. And then, you know, obviously the tournament in Plymouth, that was a big one. That hurt because you're going to get to see those Europeans and the top kids all against each other again. That would have been nice, but, you know, so you do miss that. But if you've been tracking these guys the whole year and even, you know him even before. So you have a pretty good feel, but it is, you know, it's the guy that you kind of hear about in Europe to get those games is tough. I mean, but you know what? They actually, Chris Snow does that and he's been able to get a lot of them. If we have a player we want, he's been able to get games for us and it's just starting to come in now and it should be coming in, he said, in the next couple weeks for anybody that we felt like we didn't feel quite sure about, but we'd like to get a couple more looks at him. So that's kind of, you know, what we're doing, but you're right. You know, if someone didn't break out and have a great playoff, it could have helped their stock or it could have hurt them, vice versa. So, you know, it's never easy, but I feel like our guys feel very comfortable, and I got to see a ton of them this year, too. So, feel very good. Alarms off.
Connie, go back to your NHL team. You know, if the playoffs, once we get back running, and if you take a look at the seeding, we could be looking at a Battle of Alberta. How fun was that to be involved in this season? It seemed like there was a lot of animosity between both organizations.
Oh, I think it would have been great for hockey. I mean, you know, everywhere you went after the three games kind of right in a row, I mean, people, every scout, anybody you talk to, they're like, we can't wait to watch the next game, you know, as it was going along. So if it happened to be a playoff series, I mean, that was, you know what it was like. That's kind of our dream here, to have that Battle of Alberta. We've played Vancouver in the playoffs. We've played everybody else. But, you know, to actually get to play Edmonton would have been huge. I think it would have been great for hockey. I think it would have been a great first-round matchup. I would have loved to have seen it, and hopefully we're going to see it at some point.
How are you keeping track on your guys, Craig? Is it just maybe check in with a text or see how guys are doing or just nothing, just check in a couple of weeks? It's kind of a weird time.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have a daily update on everything going on and, you know, on Teamworks. That's the system we use. So we try to do that. I mean, guys here, we sent over bikes. We washed them off, the guys that were here. And, you know, you're trying to help them as much as you can, but it's tough. I mean, there's really not a lot of there's not much you can do. I mean, some guys have actually, you know, most of them have gone home now, but there are still a few guys here. So, you know, you just, yeah, shoot them a text. If anything's going on, if you're not feeling well, like, that's really the key thing for us is if something's going on and you don't feel well, we need to know right away just to make sure. But, yeah, our guys have all been good and knock on wood until now, and we'll see. You keep moving forward. You're hoping they're training, and they all say they're training, so I hope that's the case.
Well,
like honor system again.
Right, and that's the thing, right? Now, this is different because everyone's supposed to be staying in their own homes, and maybe they're lucky if they have a gym in their house. I'm sure a lot of guys would, but they can't get on the ice. They can't go outside maybe to get physio or to get into a gym. Different context, but are you getting flashbacks of your playing career during lockouts? And if so, are you thinking, man, I got to be careful here because there were a couple of weeks there where I let it slide thinking maybe we're not coming back to play this year?
Well, it really was. I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's times when you're training really hard, you think, okay, there's going to be, this is the point when it's going to start. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's not starting. And then it's like, oh, here comes Christmas. And yeah, it's tough. And that's the thing right now. You know, we're trying to say, hey, you know, that's why we give them the updates from the league and make sure they know what's going on, that, hey, we're praying that this thing's going to restart. You know, that's the ultimate goal. So just until we tell you differently, we're planning on at some point, only Gary knows when, or, you know, it really it's out of his hands too, you know, when they kind of open things back up. But if we can put this thing on a pause long enough and get going, and, you know, the guys are pretty good. I mean, the guys have played 70 games and they just want to play – you know, the other 12 and then the playoffs. I mean, that's the goal. It's, they work so hard to get to that point. I think they're pretty focused. The difference with us, you know, those lockouts, it's at the beginning of the season. So, you know, you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a grind. When are we coming back? When are we coming back? This is, we come back and then bam, playoffs. So I think they want to be ready for that.
They had some NHL rewinds over the weekend. I don't know if you got a chance to sit down and watch that Calgary-Vancouver game. It seemed like, did it have the flashback for you? Did it get the juices flowing again?
Well, I forgot my jaw was broke then, so I'm like, what was I wearing? I'm like, oh, yeah, broken jaw. So, yeah, you get the good feelings and bad feelings, but it's funny. We had the group chat going, and, you know, it was fun because we haven't, you know, some of the guys, I didn't even know their numbers right now, so it was awesome to be able to kind of retouch and connect again and be a part of that. But just how, you know, it makes you feel, oh, you know what? I just, it makes me want to get this season going even more, though. That's the problem. It kind of got me excited and ready, and then I'm like, oh, now we just got to sit and wait and see what happens.
Well, stay safe. Make sure you keep your time occupied as much as you can out there, Craig. We always appreciate you finding time for us, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. You guys take care.
There he is. Craig Conroy from the front office out in Calgary, longtime NHLer. And one of many guys in front offices that, again, would have been playing during the lockout. And yeah, they're calling their guys being like, please train. Please stay in shape. And I wonder if the players are like, oh, really? What were you up to when there was a lockout? What were you doing with your time?
Well, I've said this before. You know, there's always one or two guys on a roster where you circle and go, this guy is going to be 50 pounds heavier next time I see him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the concerning part. You know, I thought about it today. You know, when you're looking at healthy rosters and guys coming back and where they would slot, but you can't factor in that, you know, there's still going to be maybe an outlier or two. Like you could walk through the dressing room and go, okay, I've got a healthy team, but two guys may not have worked out, or two guys may not be up to speed, and that's where the adjustment, when this does come back, is going to be really interesting, because, you know, you hope that the whole league is healthy for the most part, but that doesn't mean that all of them are ready to hit the ground running. And if you have a short training camp and then you expect to either go right into the Stanley Cup playoffs or a little bit of regular season and then after, I mean, it could change the fortune of really how your team looks in that short tournament.
Well, again, we got to get there first, but yeah, I mean, at this point, that I don't know what to expect. I know Mark Giordano did one of those conference call or FaceTime chats last week, and he said he thought it would be the best playoffs ever because everyone would be healthy. But to your point, if they're rusty, then maybe that'll balance that out. You know, all of a sudden, yeah, they're healthy, but there's rust or the system isn't in place. I don't know. And let's hope we get to witness it. Let's hope we get to make that determination on our own. Dave Naylor will join us, our TSN football analyst, on some reports coming out of the CFL. Some players may be thinking, I don't know if I'm going to wait around here. You know, if we're going to cut the season in half and my paycheck's going to get cut in half, CFL players aren't making the money that NHL players are making or NFL players are making. It's a serious conversation revolving around the CFL. So we'll tell you more about that. We'll catch up with Dave Naylor and two more battles in the Overdrive audio bracket later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. You guys see the report over the weekend that Trump reached out to A-Rod for help for advice on how to handle like COVID-19 and the reaction, and
what a reassuring thing.
A-Rod? What? Why would you be calling an athlete? Yeah.
He was too busy doing a TikTok video with J-Lo and hitting. Did you see she was like, they were hitting balls in the backyard?
Oh, yeah. Like, he has become so annoying on social media. Like, he'll post a pic about, like, do whatever it takes, and then it'll be like him in a pair of sunglasses with a private jet behind him with a Rolls Royce about to pick him up in the private jet. It's like, dude, you are painful. He is my most disliked person on social media.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'll challenge I guarantee you there's a worse one out there.
Well, as far as LeBron? Just like he'll be like blood, sweat, and tears with a private jet, And then it's just, it never ends. He's always got the glasses, the suit. It's just, I've had enough of that one. That one's too much for
me. Well, what's your timeline on him and J-Lo sticking around?
Less than 5 years. Less.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of them have had a Rolodex for the ages. And
oh, yeah. Those celebrity marriages, dude. They're like, they're 2 years max, and then it's done.
But how long? They've been together longer than that, haven't they?
Two or three years. Yeah, 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Two or three more, and it's game over.
But yeah. isn't she significantly older than him?
I don't think so. No, she would be older. I think she's 50. I think J-Lo, is she 50 now or 45 or 50? But A-Rod would be in his 40s.
Yeah, I think A-Rod's my age. He might be 44.
Yeah, he's probably mid-40s.
Yeah, and yeah, she's 50 right now, and I don't know what A-Rod is. But, yeah, I guess I thought, oh, he's 44, so it's only 6 years. I thought for some reason it was like 15 years.
Well, what's going to happen is A-Rod's going to be 47, 48, and he'll be like maybe 33 still in the ballpark, so smell you later, J-Lo. It's the same as what's-his-face with Demi Moore.
Yeah,
yeah, Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, but
it
that
was fun for a while. It was fun for a while, and then it's like, all right, you morphed from cougar to snow leopard, and now I'm out.
That was a bigger discrepancy, though. Kutcher was like 25 or something, and she was in her 40s.
Yeah. When you morph from the cougar to the snow leopard, it is game over.
Is that a science?
That is a science, right? Because it's just
Dr.
snow
Fauci
leopard.
Would confirm that?
Yeah. Okay. There, by the way, during this nonsense, there's a show, I don't know what channel it's on. It's called, like, Super Cougars. Mega Cougars or something. It is the most ridiculous television I've ever watched in my life.
I have not seen that, but...
Don't.
Well,
don't.
Tiger King. Is it Tiger King? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about a show. You know those shows, like, Wives of New York and all that? It's called Super Cougars, or, like mass... Like, just, it's goofy.
I'm surprised I haven't seen it. My wife watches all of it. All of it. Anything that's on TV.
Yeah, it's like Ultra Cougars, Super Cougars. It's like these, it's just, there's so
I'll find it. Yeah. All right, we got our boy Dave Naylor on the line, our TSN football analyst. What's happening, Dave?
Oh, lots, gentlemen. Lots of nothing, I guess. You know, it feels like there's no days. It just goes from dark to light and then dark to light again.
Yeah, it rolls over, doesn't it? And Anna Kendrick had a great tweet. Let me find it here. I just saw it.
Yeah, it's no one can ever say I didn't have time to do what I wanted to do or try that or whatever.
Yeah, she said, I guess I'll never be able to lie to myself again about all the stuff I would do if I just had the time. And it's so true. I haven't done anything. Like, I did some stuff a week ago. I can't do anything. I'm not doing anything. I got the kids around, and I don't do anything, Dave.
Well, I've fallen into the same trap a little bit, you know, waking up later, watching the news. You know, there's so many distractions with what's going on out there. You can kind of keep yourself just going off of that, going for the odd run. I have read a book in the last couple of weeks, you know, got started in on Game of Thrones. I've never watched it. If there's ever been a time, I guess this is it. So, and credit to you guys, man, for doing a great job with no sports. As I sent Hayes a note the other day, I said, who knew the ability to talk about nothing would come in so handy?
Is that a compliment, like Dave? Or?
I'll tell you, it's a skill that's very much in demand these days, boys. Very much.
Well, we've been training.
We are the Seinfeld of radio shows. We talk about nothing and make it work. We're actually having a sound bracket right now, and you are all over it. Hayes gives credit to you, though, but I just wanted to ask, I don't know if I've ever asked you, like, what was your reaction when Sean Burke flushed live on air? Like, how did you battle out of that, and how did you keep going? Because that could actually win the sound bracket for us. Like, how, when that
Do
went
we actually
down.
Have the sound? Do we have the sound, Mulls, for Dave or no? All right, let's play this, Dave, and you can take us through it when it's over.
All right.
Of course, you are the goaltender coach, and this part of the world, we are interested in him because he's an Olympian going as the number three goaltender.
Go ahead, Dave. Explain that.
You know, I think when you do live radio, the first instinct when something happens, right, is to ignore it, right? Because you're thinking, okay, that's not part of the show. That's not part of what we're doing. But I think, as you heard me break it up there, it's just like, we can't. You know, like, that was like the microphone was in the bowl.
It's an all-time great clip. It's a it's a high seed in the bracket. It's, I think, a two or a three seed, and I think it's got, I think it's going dancing at the very least. But it, Final Four, it seems like a real possibility. So you should be proud of that at the very least.
It's the test of time there, that one, for sure.
So the CFL, I mean, just like every other league, they're postponing everything, and training camps are going to be pushed back. But I saw some interesting reporting. I think Matthew Schenetti was tweeting about this. I think Farhan Lalji has been tweeting about it. I'm sure you're well in the know as well about how maybe some players throughout the league could be concerned if the CFL decides to reduce games, if it gets to that point where they decide, okay, we're going to start on Labor Day and we're going to play a 10-game season instead of an 18-game season, and we're going to cut your contract in half. That could be very detrimental to many players in the league who don't make a lot of money. If they're making 80 grand a year, 100 grand a year, and all of a sudden they're making half of that, could you see a situation where players say, not worth it, I'm not coming back for half the check at this point?
I could see it with veteran players. Like with young guys who are, you know, if you're 25, 26 years old, you're probably not playing in the Canadian Football League for the money at that stage of your career anyway. But the guys who are, you know, in their 30s, you know, somebody who's making, you know, more than $150,000 a year, which is a decent CFL salary, if you're coming back for half of that, especially if you're American, you know, see where the Canadian dollar is, that's where I think you could have some guys saying, you know, is this really worth it? And it was going to be concerns about not having a training camp or a very abbreviated training camp, not having possibly preseason games and the condensed schedule. I still think, you know, football is a sport where there's always more guys that want to play than there are players available. It's just the way it is. And we see guys all the time who sign in the National Football League in the winter, go through their enormously long training camp, and then come back and sign in the CFL in September, you know, for basically the last six games of the year. Now, they'll often get some money up front and tack on a year beyond that. So I don't think that's the biggest concern. I think the biggest concern is just logistics. You know, when you think of what's going on in the U.S. and the fact that the CFL players come from all over, you know, I saw this recently, somebody saying, unlike countries in Europe, you know, where geographically they're pretty small, the U.S. is like a bunch of countries. Like, if you say, what's going on in the U.S. right now, how do you answer that? Well, what are we talking about? Are we talking about New York? Are we talking about, you know, Nebraska? And so this thing could, you know, blow through New York by July or August, but, you know, be totally on fire somewhere else. And you are bringing players in from every corner of the country. You've got the border issue. And before you even get to the idea about can you hold training camp, you know, then you got to look at, you know, what's your business model? What's your ticket revenue going to be? I know that there's leagues that have talked about the idea of playing games without fans. I don't think you could do that in the Canadian Football League. It's just the gate is too important. You couldn't just say we're going to play with no gate revenue, because I don't think the economics would work. And, you know, all these issues, you look at how quickly this has gone, guys. 19 days ago, the NHL and the NBA were playing, okay? Then we had the Bob McKenzie tweet, hey, look at the CDC saying May 10th, and we're like, whoa, guess we're gone for 6 weeks. Then the Olympics, okay, so the CFL season got postponed today, the start of training camp, May 17th. That's about 2 months before the NFL goes to camp. Mm-hmm. You know, if Wimbledon goes down, which people are talking about, how far are we far away from talking about the postponement of NFL training camps, again, in a league that is spread out across the entirety of the United States?
Well, Dave, speaking of the CFL player, I understand that some of them would not be happy with whatever happens to the season and wages, but the counter argument is going to be, what the hell are you going to do then? Like, what are you going to do? Go get another job somewhere? Or you're not playing football anywhere else?
No, you're not. And who knows if the XFL is coming back even, right? And next year, but that's why I think you would get guys that would step forward and play. And like, make no mistake, there's some CFL players, because they have a long off season, there's no commitments in the off season, they go and get other jobs, and they start on a career. And they, you know, they tell their employer, hey, I'm still going to play football for three to five more years. So, you know, we're going to work out a situation where I'm going to be here for 6 months and I'm going to be gone for 6 months. And those guys kind of make it work better than some do. But there are other guys that hang on for the start of that first check. You know, they're banking on that check coming in the third week of June. And that's why I say I think for younger players, you would have guys that would absolutely, if they're playing, if the teams are playing, they're going to be there and want to play.
With Dave Naylor, our TSN football analyst, you know, I hope come the fall we're either through this, I mean, that would be ideal, or we're much more comfortable with the situation and we have more of a grasp on it. But we were discussing this earlier where there have been a couple of reports that coaches in the SEC had a conference call today and they were told it's 50-50, you even have a season next year. And if college football goes down, you have to think the NFL could be in a similar position. I mean, wow, if we were sitting here a year from now and everything has still been wiped out, you look at a guy like Tom Brady. Is Brady going to play in 2 years if he doesn't play in the next 18 months at the age of 45? Like, what would happen?
Well, you know, and I put this out on a tweet about a week ago just because I started, you know, got time on my hands, guys, thinking about, okay, what sport would be the easiest to bring back and what would be, you know, the hardest, right? And you can think of individual sports like boxing and MMA and things like that, golf. I heard you guys talking about earlier today. But I realized that college football is the hardest, right? College football, the home teams in college football dress 100 players or more, right? And the teams that travel, I think they travel with like 60 or 70. So you're talking about 170 guys. Then you got staffs of like, in the big time programs, like 24 people, trainers. And unlike professional sports, where you're paying the guys so much money, at least in theory, you might be able to just take over their lives, right? And say, hey, we're all going to live in a hotel and we're going to play, and this is how we're going to make it work. You're not going out. You're not hanging out with your families and friends. In college, guys are going to class. They're on campus. They're off campus. They're with their families. And on weekends, the games in the biggest conferences are played in 80 to 100,000 people. And guess what the fans of those teams do? They travel big time. I think college football is the hardest sport to bring back. The NFL, you know they're going to try something, right? Because there's yep. so much money at stake there. And I honestly think that is the league that I could see playing without fans because the television money is so rich. And think of what the audiences would be if they could get on. But college football, to me, I'm not surprised to hear that 50-50 stat from the SEC conference call because I think of all the sports, that's the one that just seems – I mean, and you don't want to start up and then have to pull the whole thing down, right? You can't. You just can't take a chance that that's what you're going to have to do.
Nail Gunn, I wanted your opinion on that XFL. I mean, we have a correspondent on our show who does a 10-second bit every week. But, you know, just your initial impressions of it, do you think it is a hit? Do you think it's a little bit of a gong show? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think the thing that has to happen for a league, an alternative league, to prove it's sustainable is you got to see the ratings bounce. And by that, I mean, they can't just keep going down every week. You got to find the bottom and then see it bounce up. And the XFL never found that. You know, they were down, I want to say it was about 56%, I think I tweeted out one time from like week one to week four, and every week was lower than the week before. So that tells you people's interest was not growing on the XFL. It was fading. And that was before they faced March Madness, which was going to be playing on Saturdays and Sundays, or the baseball season. So, you know, I don't see it, you know, and as for the quality of football, it was okay. You know, and look, I'm you guys know I love all football. I think the National Football League has the best players in the world, and I think the Canadian Football League has the best game. I'm reminded of how uninspiring a game four-down football can be when you don't have the best players in the world. That's kind of was my reaction from watching the XFL. I just don't get it. I don't see the growth. It's like any business you start, right? You start and you say, hey, we just opened a peach stand, right? We're doing small, but a week from now our sales go up, and a week after that they're going to do better. That's just business. But the XFL and all these alternate leagues always go the opposite way. Their audiences don't build. They fade. And that's what we saw with the XFL.
Always great catching up with you, buddy. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Hey, thanks, man. And again, you guys are doing a great job in a time where, especially around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a lot of people can really use the distraction.
That's the plan. We'll try to keep it rolling as long as we can.
All right.
Thanks, Nails.
There he is, Dave Naylor, our TSN football analyst. Yeah, well, we're trying to make ourselves laugh. We figure if we can get ourselves laughing, then hopefully other people are laughing with us.
I just love the fact that like he, I don't know. I'm sure we've talked to him about the flush before, but I can't remember.
I don't know if we have.
Down.
That was a good call, Noodles. I don't know if we have brought that up with him.
Well, every time it's weird because I don't see the nail gun half as much as I'd like to. I mean, once in a while I see him around, you know, TSN when things were rolling, but every time I see him, I think of the flush.
Yeah.
Like
it's his thing.
Well, it's his thing because, you know, it was just the way he reacted. I mean, I know it was on his show, but he
the little subtle like half laugh was just the best. He exactly. tried to keep it together. It was so good.
I've told you, I don't know if I could have. And he's right. Like you're trying to show respect for a guy in Sean Burke who's come on the show doesn't have to. You know,
let's hear it again, Malls, just for funs.
Of course, you are the goaltender coach, and this part of the world, we are interested in him because he's an Olympian going as the number three goaltender.
There's nothing subtle about it.
No.
Like, there's no
it's
deciphering
right
what
grill.
That is. It's right in your face.
Yeah.
Right in your face.
Right in your mug.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, well, it's moved on. It's into the round of 32 in the Overdrive Madness audio bracket. I mean, it's sweeping the nation. Everyone's getting behind it. People are really excited about what we're doing with this audio bracket. So we'll continue
to pump
it up.
Some people are even copying it.
Some people are saying, you know, it's so good, we have to pick up on it.
Yeah.
So that's
interesting.
That's gratifying and
it
know,
is.
Just flattering. We're very flattered that other people would try to replicate what we're doing on the show.
Agreed.
So we have two more battles that we're going to get to today, this time from the Constipator region. We'll get to those two next.
I'm having a good time. Not.
Glory, Gloria!
The Overdrive Madness Bracket.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Yes, the original audio bracket, the only one that matters, brought to you by Maple Toyota. Maple is in the name, and everything our Maple Leaf stands for is why we'll get through this together. Take care of yourself and each other, Maple Toyota. .com. All right, we shift over to the Constipator region. We've got a couple of battles here. All right, a couple of drops, a couple of full-blown clips, one of them featuring a guy I want to get to in a moment because there's more reporting online about this Tiger versus Phil 2.0 golf match. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But let's begin with a clip that was basically developed revolving around a new bit that we came up with, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe more than that, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Let's begin with the first battle in the Constipator region.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do.
Yes.
I really do.
I really do.
No,
she
you
did.
Don't.
Yeah, well, I don't know if she did.
What ends
not,
up happening to that guy in that movie?
Well, you know what happens.
No, does he die? I don't know.
You never seen it?
No, I have, but I forget what happens to him.
Yeah, he
it doesn't go well.
It doesn't go so well
yeah.
for him.
Elizabeth okay. Shue was yeah. like, "Yes, I know. I really know."
Yeah.
And she probably should not have listened to that advice. So that is, again, an all-time clip on this show going up against one that has become more relevant over the past couple of years ever since Owen and I have been going at it, you know, putting money on the line for all these dumb bets that we always play. And whenever one of us decides either not to pay or claims that it's fake news and that they got it wrong, this clip plays invariably.
Don't do this.
Don't do what? Take what's owed to me.
What's owed to you?
I put you in action, Beansy. You got a bad memory, Beansy.
You got a bad memory, Beansy. That's Richie Aprile from The Sopranos, and we all know what happened to Beansy in the end. It wasn't good either.
Didn't go well for him either.
No. Beansy's bad memory cost him his well-being. All right, so there's a report online. Robert Lucetich, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's a golf reporter. I think he's written books about golf and about Tiger. He just tweeted out about 25 minutes ago that he is hearing Tiger versus Phil 2.0 might indeed be happening as a pay-per-view event, but the caveat is that each will have a playing partner. And he said the two names that he has heard being mentioned.
Before you say it, let me guess. Yeah. I'm going to say Jordan Spieth and Thomas, Justin Thomas.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Oh, I was way off.
way off.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Like, how would that even work? I mean, they both play. I don't know what their handicap is. I don't know how well they play.
What I want to know is, when do they think this thing is going to happen? Like, when do you think that, when the hell do they think they're going to get on a golf course?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be in the next, I don't know. I mean, would you hopefully would be setting this up for the next month, too? Would it be live? Would you play it and then edit it and then roll it out like an HBO kind of thing, like a 24/7 where you build it up? You know, are all four parties going to have to sign something? Are they going to have to agree to something? What's on the line? I don't know. I mean, I would assume there's a lot of details, and the devil might be in the details in terms of this falling apart before it even gets off the ground.
Just off the top of your head, like, what could this make? Like, if this was a live pay-per-view event, obviously you would watch it. Both of you, all three of us would watch it, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
Say it's $75 a head.
I'd pay $200.
I'd pay a lot of money.
I'd pay $500.
Okay,
I wouldn't pay $500.
Yeah, you would, you idiot. No. You're okay, sitting at home doing nothing. There's no sports.
Okay, let's just say it's the McGregor Mayweather fight. Like, that was $100, I think.
I would have paid I'd pay $500 for that.
Okay, but
I
would too. What I'm saying, the average person, do you think that makes $100 million? And could that $100 million go to COVID research?
I don't know if it makes $100 million. $100 million seems steep, but
well, keep in mind this will be the only live sporting event on the planet.
It wouldn't be played in bars. Like, you can't go to a bar and circumvent the price. If you want to see it, you got to pay for it. So maybe $100 million seems rich.
Yeah, it seems rich. Yeah,
I think you could get up to maybe $5 million or $10 million. I think $10 million. I think you could smash like a pay per view if you promote it properly and because of the circumstance. But that said, I mean, a big fight. Think about some of the all time great Tyson fights and Mayweather fights and McGregor fights and how they get billed internationally. I don't know if a golf tournament that's gimmicky with football players would have the same cachet. I think you'd be banking on just people so desperate for live content.
Speaking of all-time greats, before we get out of here, can you guys recommend a rom-com? I promised the wife it was rom-com night tonight.
Okay, think about that because we got two more clips to play here. We have one more battle. I mentioned this golf story because one of these clips is courtesy of our boy, Phil Mickelson.
It's Phil. A Sunday morning, we're on. You and I are partners against Charlie and one of his partners. Where would you like to play? We can play Rancho Santa Fe if you want, or we can play Coronado early and even someplace else after if we played early enough. But you and I are partners. We wanted to see if you wanted to play Coronado and take these guys for some serious cash. So let me know. Talk to you later. Bye.
That's such a dripping with degenerate gambling. Just greasing for it. He's dying to get on the course and take money off Charlie Hoffman and his partner. He doesn't even know his name.
And his green glove.
Yeah. So that clip is going up against a classic from Vegas last year.
Gentlemen, thanks very much. Enjoy your stay in Vegas. I don't want to hear a word about it, but enjoy your stay.
Yes, guys! Hey.
Wow. Just think of the lawyer's fee on that one.
That is awesome.
I love to play that again. That puts a smile on my face just hearing that.
Gentlemen, thanks very much. Enjoy your stay in Vegas. I don't want to hear a word about it, but enjoy your stay.
Yes, guys! Hey.
Wow. Just think of the lawyer's fee on that one.
That's awesome.
The whole media row was like, what are these idiots doing up here in Vegas? Yeah. All right, so those battles are up online at Overdrive1050 on Twitter, at TSN1050 on Instagram. Rom-com. You got one, Noodles? You're the movie guy.
Notting Hill.
Notting Hill. I'll look for it.
Yeah.
Right. Hugh movie. Grant, for sure. I love that show.
It's a quality movie. Yeah. I can't think of one, man. There's a lot
about
of great rom-coms.
Another one, About a Boy. That's the other Hugh Grant one, I believe, isn't it?
Haven't seen that. There's one with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. That's pretty good. That's a recent one.
Yeah, it's a recent one.
Yeah, Brooklyn Decker's in there, too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be worthy of checking out. All right, boys. Good stuff. Are we throwing to to your throwaway
tradition
here?
Let's throw to the goodbye. Ne il ne shi I dashi oseo.
Good stuff.
Yes, we will.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow at 4.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is the number one priority at this time. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan will remain open for business, offering the same great deals during the Nissan My Choice sales event. If you need a new vehicle, see their inventory online at ScarboroughNissan.com and book a one-on-one consultation. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The My Choice sales event is on. Choose your bonus up to $2,000 bonus cash, up to 1% rate reduction, or up to 3 payments on them. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.